Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. This is a busy season, and now you kind of have this opportunity, right, to take a half of a breath once again. It's good to be together, and welcome to First Baptist Church. For those who don't know me, my name is Pastor Rich Robison. I am very pleased to be filling in to assist during the time that Pastor Martha is away and recuperating from her health condition. Doreen, you mentioned that you've had contact with Martha this week. Can you just bring us up to date?
Yeah, I did. Just a brief telephone conversation. And she seems to be in pretty good spirits and feeling stronger all the time. And getting to be anxious to get back to work. So she's feeling nice.
Excellent. Thank you. And so continue. And I hope you let her know that she's missed and that we're all praying for her. So, good news. Are there announcements that need to be made at this time? Marilyn.
I have a couple. One of them is directed at the ladies and young women. And traditional Christmas party and Yankee swap. I was thinking of having before Epiphany ends, sometime next week. I've sent out an email to those members that I have email addresses for, but if I don't have an email address for you or you know somebody who doesn't have one, I'm thinking of either the Saturday coming up, Monday or Wednesday, which is Epiphany, in the evening. They have something here at the Pollock, in the Pollock kitchen. So you'll see the email, but speak to me later about that. And the second thing is White Cross. We have a few items. They're not Christmas items, so they can be brought in anywhere from now until April. But there's a volleyball, three dish towels, mittens, and a scarf, which could be handy for winter. If anybody would like to donate those. They are going to the Multicultural Ministries, which has Maureen Son as the director. It's very local. It's in Massachusetts, so it's something that know that you're doing some good locally. So, thank you.
Great. Thank you.
About that too later.
Yeah. Everybody knows White Cross, right? Mm-hmm. It has one of the oldest programs, I think, of assistance that occurs, and people have kept it alive, and it's really quite an amazing thing. So I'm glad you're active in that. Are there other announcements to be made today? Did we announce that you're worshiping in the parlor from now till some future time?
Palm Sunday.
Till Palm Sunday. All right. And it's Easter is early this year, is it not? March 29? Yeah. So who knows? You can start praying for snow for Easter. So let's join together and unite our hearts in worship. Our call to worship is printed in the bulletin for you, so please join me responsively. God's love has been made known to us.
God has sent Christ into the world that all people might live.
If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us.
Let us worship God and seek to love as God has loved us. The hymn is 168, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Glorious song of old,
pray. Oh God, we praise you, for in Jesus Christ you have come to us to speak your word of love and life. You have touched us with unearthly joy, and in this season we hear the singing of the angels that fills us with wonder, just like the eyes of children. Teach us this day to humble ourselves before you, and like worshiping magi, may our journey to your manger be only the beginning of a lifetime of service to our Lord. Accept our worship this day, accept our prayers and thanksgiving. Hear us as we pray together in the manner you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our moments with the children, perhaps we can reframe slightly and ask, do we have any moments about our children, particular on Christmas, that we can share one with the other? Were there any moments that somehow stuck in your memory on Christmas morning or sometime on Christmas Day? Or Christmas Eve, where the children in your life surprised you, pleased you, excited you, inspired you? Anybody have a thought? Dottie.
Just as you spoke last Sunday, we had an experience when Nana called on Christmas Day, late in Christmas Day, and said, Baby Jesus seems to be missing from under the tree. So we fished from a few pockets and we found, we didn't have such a good excuse as you did, just that they wanted to play with them.
Very, very, very tempting, yes, yes. Yes, please.
So I was pleased that all of the nephews and my kids made time to all be together Christmas Eve.
That's wonderful. What a gift. All the nephews and children were able to get to be together for Christmas. Thank you. Others? Doreen?
We don't really have any little children anymore, but we and we did have, six of our seven grandchildren.
Excellent.
One in Arizona. So
yes.
But it was a nice, warm day, feelings of love.
Excellent.
Connection.
So almost everyone, more than a congressional majority, so that's good. Yes, Betty.
Christmas morning, when we was opened our gifts, Naomi got a round package. And when she undone it, she said, Nana, I don't drink coffee. And I said, well, why don't you open it? So she opened it. She says, more papers? Just that, taking off the papers. And when she got down to the end, there was this cup. And it's in Boston, Massachusetts, dirty water. Well, she has a say when she wants her iced tea, she calls her dirty water.
Excellent. Dirty water cup. May have started out remembering something else, but we got to beyond the Charles River. That's good. Is there one more? Please.
Yes, for the first time we had Christmas Eve at my daughter's home in Stoneham,
And at that time also, we had a reunion via UBU, satellite, with my sisters and brothers-in-law, and nephews and nieces from the Philippines, and a niece from New Zealand. So we were all together via satellite.
Via satellite. The wonders of modern technology. That's terrific. We have much to be thankful for, and we are thankful for our children and grandchildren and those who inspire us. We're thankful for the coming of the babe in the manger. Let us pray together. With grateful hearts, O God, we give you thanks for family, for friends, for inspiration, for those who bring hope into our lives, for the little wonders that occur that give us strength and courage for each day. We ask your blessing on our families here, those who are missing, and those who we care for we ask it through Christ. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for our time of prayer and ask if there are prayer concerns that people would like to share. Already I have on the list, we're continuing to pray for Pastor Martha, and for those who might have been coming in just a little late, she's doing well. As it's been reported, and misses us, and at the same time is utilizing this time to gain her strength. We're praying for Carolyn Landers, who continues to recuperate. We're praying for Jackie May. Last name? That is Jack. Okay, Jackie May. I thought there was another name, but that's Irene's sister-in-law who is in poor health. Richard?
For many months, we prayed for Heather Fountain. And she had leukemia, and she is doing famously. She had a bone marrow transplant, and my daughter is going to visit her this weekend, and we'll be able to stay in Heather's home. Michael's going too,
because they're
all good friends. Heather's throwing a birth party. Isn't it a birthday party? Her new birth.
Her new birth.
Yeah. Excellent.
So it's really good. And Rich knows Heather, too, because he was in his church when he was in Gardner.
Yeah. Yes, this is a small Baptist family, believe me. And the side story for me is that some of the kids that were in my youth group in different places that went to camp at Oceanwood up in Maine got to know each other. Now they've ganged up on me. And so when I've served in different pastorates around, I've gotten to know these different families. And then when I go to Ocean Park in the summer, I end up running into this group of young people who, they're out of context for me because I always knew them as small children in a different place, but now they know each other, and they use social media, and they Facebook and friend and do all these things to stay in touch, and they're quite a community. But Heather was the daughter of one of the very active families in the First Baptist Church of Gardner when I was pastor there. And obviously we've been praying for her because of this terrible setback, but very, very grateful that the treatment has worked so well. So, Jim?
On Wednesday, Betty and I will be celebrating
59 years of joy. Betty and Jim, 59 years. That's wonderful. Congratulations. Others. Please.
My name is Steve. I'd like to pray for my mom. She will have a surgery next Wednesday in Houston.
We'll keep her in our prayers. Let's take a moment and clear our minds of those distractions and focus our attention upon God's presence in our lives. Let us pray together. Oh God, it's by your love, love which blesses and unites us in this place and time, that we come before you with hearts filled with joy by this holy season. We've taken in its light and its color, most especially the message of peace and goodwill to all. We have remembered the birth of Jesus, and in that you have given our weary and struggling world a reason to rejoice. We hear the cry of an infant, for you have given hope to all who cry. By the light of a star, you have helped us find our way in darkness. How we thank you, good and generous God, that in Jesus the Christ, you have made yourself known and have beckoned us to join you in the continual creation and recreation of a world where a wolf and a lamb shall dwell together. And justice will roll down like waters. Create in us, O God, hearts that are devoted to shaping our world. Bless especially those for whom our world seems only a distant dream, for those who struggle, for those who feel oppressed, for those who are feeling the issues of health or loneliness or depression or despair, for those who feel despised. We pray for our congregation and all of its people. We pray for our community in which we live, in which we move and have our being with you. We remember particularly today Martha, Caroline, Jackie, and Heather, Steve's mom, and others who are on our hearts and minds that we have not spoken, for whom we extend and wish your spirit of life to fill them. We celebrate long relationships, Betty, Jim for 59 years. How impressive it is to be together as God's people. The news of the angels, the wonders of shepherds, may they renew us for the days to come. And grant us hearts for the sake of our ministry in this place that may discern how to make the gospel of Christ something meaningful, something we cherish. Grant to us and those whose lives we touch your glory, that we may hear in our words and see in our lives that you are truly a merciful and gracious God, abounding in steadfast love. Be present to us. Empower us with your Holy Spirit. For we ask these things, trusting in your care, not only for today, but for always. Hear our prayer. We offer it through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the spirit of giving, we offer ourselves unto God as we worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Are overflowing with joy, with gratitude for all that you have bestowed upon us, O God. We come this day to return these gifts and to dedicate ourselves again in the spirit of the Christ child, renewed, filled with hope, filled with new life. Bless us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
My shepherds watch their flocks.
No, I'm not May Upperman. She's not feeling well today, so she asked me to take her place. We have one verse from Malachi from the Old Testament. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And from the New Testament, from the Christmas story. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
But for you who worship my name, the Sun of Justice and Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Such was the word of the prophet Malachi. Such is the hope of our Christmas. Well, we've made it. The season of preparation and waiting, it's all done. I loved my mother-in-law, but she had this habit at noon on Christmas Day of coming into the living room, picking up all the paper scraps, and beginning to take the tree down. Christmas is over. Let's move on. Don't tell her I'm picking on her today. But nonetheless, there is that sense in which finally all of this anxiety and pent-up emotion, and as my daughter Amy says, I always have an adrenaline drop afterwards, Dad. What I want to suggest today, though, is that Christmas is not an end in itself. It is the means to a much greater outcome. It's a means to an end. And so we embark on this journey. It's amazing. It's instilled in us. We hear and we read that small section of Scripture, that old, old story and its different parts over and over during this season. And so we've heard it and reheard it. We've told it to our children and we've retold it so that they can capture in their hearts and their spirits and captivate this notion of what has actually taken place, that God has come to dwell among us. And so we come aware that another year has passed and our high hopes for the latest gadget have been tempered, perhaps, by the reality of Christmas morn. We come hungering and thirsting for good news in a world that is still filled with bad news. It's a season. It's a season of giving. It's a season of caring. It's a season in which perhaps we look for the little signs of those things that lift our hearts, a ray of sunshine that pierces into the gray days. The sunshine that makes it seem just a little brighter. Someone had said that Christmas is hoping with expectancy that our hearts will somehow be opened, our hands lifted up, our faces as radiant as little children, in this season, we expect joy almost to a fault, as though it's a right we deserve. I don't know if you remember, some people used to watch television before all the other ways that we do it these days, but there was a commercial that advertised milk. Do you remember this one? In which there was an image of a young man with a great big white milk mustache across his face, and the commercial just said, "Got milk?" Well, that's what came to mind when I was thinking about reflecting on Christmas. Got Christmas? I don't know if you'd end up with a mustache. But we look around at our lives and our world and what we've been taught and what we believe as Christians, and we do, and we have this sense of hope even in the midst of our challenges and our failures and our frustrations. We still can find the opportunity to declare that things aren't quite as bad as they seem, or perhaps that they're better than they once were. The truth is that we have this expectation of joy and this challenge of reality. We didn't quite get everything we wanted. Most of us live somewhere in the middle between those, right? Somebody says that's the land of ambiguity. On the one hand, you really want to have unlimited, unfettered joy. On the other hand, your dashed hopes are just a little bit too strong, and you have this tension in which you find yourself. Charlie Brown, the famous theologian, emphatically to his friend Lucy, and consequently to us, simply said, "I cannot handle ambiguity. It has to be one or the other." Well, how about for you? Got Christmas? Or are you still in the land of ambiguity? How certain are we about what happened on that holy night that has changed us? The Savior has been born and come into our world and changed us. Some may think, well, we haven't gotten very far. Others see God at work around us. Sometimes we see the coming of a Savior as sort of a feeble attempt. But look, things are still not very good. Some of us see it more as sort of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. If we just think hard enough, things will get better. Sometimes that falls a little short. I keep thinking that if I just think hard enough, someday I'm going to be a tall basketball player. But no matter how hard I think, it hasn't yet happened. We have expectations about what was supposed to happen almost magically about this child coming into our world. And then we are reminded that really in the context in which the story was told, it was in the midst of an ancient Jewish society, one in which there was a high expectation of the coming of the Messiah as the day of the Lord. In ancient thought, humankind was looked at in this present age, this evil age, and yet there was this golden age of God waiting for us to come. And when the Messiah would arrive, that would be the day of the Lord. Not a 24-hour day, they didn't quite think in those terms, but the season of the Lord, who would be helping the world to make these changes. And they lived between those two ages, the ages of evil and the ages of God's good. The Savior would come and bring forth this new, incredible world out of the pangs of evil and death. The new age would be born. And so it was more of a proclamation and a declaration. This is the season of the Lord. The Lord has arrived and is going to rise up and make things new. And so it was not only a profound reality, but a hope yet to come. So with this in mind, Jesus described to those early believers the events of the world as that which was yet to come. God's reign would be established over all things. It had not yet fully arrived. Into this world, the Messiah would come to redeem the world from evil and set it free. Their years of waiting and hope, which had been hundreds, you might recall, was their Advent time. Ours is 30 days. Theirs was quite a bit longer. And the day of the Lord was not a day of pure joy. It was a day of confident hope that God, in fact, would change this world and make it conform to His image, and that the victory would be won by a Savior who was the Messiah who had come. That was the expectation. The Messiah who had come. Got Christmas yet? Can you believe that the battle would be won by this one who had come, this child? Over the season, I've read to you a little bit from an author whom I like a lot. Her name is Anne Weems, W-E-E-M-S. She's a worship leader and theologian of sorts, but she really believes in the power of story, including writing of her own account of her family and her own faith. She was raised as the daughter of a Presbyterian minister and grew up living in a church parsonage. Now that alone can have a whole series of things to be written about. But nonetheless, that was her early beginnings. And her father was the pastor of a large church in Nashville, where first he served as the associate pastor and then became the senior pastor. She was a small girl at that time. She said she remembers wandering into the large sanctuary of the church when she was about 5 or 6, and the lights were dim, and she looked and she said, "It looks like an Egyptian temple." She said, "I was surprised by that, a little offended. But then my father came in to do what ministers do on Sunday morning before the worship begins. And I asked him, 'Dad, why does our church look like an Egyptian temple?' And he said, 'Well, he and my mother had asked that question many times. But it had come to be just that's the way it is.' He said, 'But it reminds me of our Old Testament roots. And on it there was a scripture passage. Once we were a slave people, and now we are free. Once we were no people, and now we are God's people.' And he said further to me, 'God's people must always be about the business of ending slavery and creating things anew, of ending oppression and giving freedom.' Well, after that, as a young child, she said, I didn't pay much attention to him. I just sat and counted the lights and wondered, how could God make things new, as I counted all of the lights across the top of the sanctuary. But later in life, as she reacquainted herself with her father as an adult, she learned that he was a man of conscience. She remembered his stories of a time that he preached a sermon on racial brotherhood in the heart of the South in the 1930s, and what a stir that apparently had caused. Some of the church leaders had come to him and asked him to stick to the Bible and not get into politics. And he said, "But I'm preaching the Bible. The Bible says love one another." Then she continued and remembered that during the time between the two world wars, he preached a sermon on the Prince of Peace, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the ultimate Prince of Peace. After the sermon, the church board held a special meeting. they created a resolution ordering her father not to preach on the subject of war. To which he replied, as they told him of this in the meeting, I want to say that if this is a Christian advice, I will receive it with gratitude, but if this is instructions on what to preach, I cannot accept it, for only God can tell me what to preach. And as a result, he was censored by the church and his denomination. On the dictates of his conscience, they wouldn't let him preach in that pulpit any longer. And he said that he would not preach if it was not a free pulpit. So she remembered this as an adult thinking of her father. Somehow, she said, in my 8-year-old heart, I understood finally what it meant to stand up for what you think is right, what it means to be a Christian in action and not only name. My father had taken a risk. He paid a price. He left a prominent and wealthy church. He became the minister of a struggling little church that couldn't afford to pay the minister very much. But he had his integrity, he had his faith, and he had God's promises. Got Christmas yet? What is it we prepare for? What do we celebrate but for the coming of Christ in our world and even more into our lives? Christmas, as it always comes in the darkest of times, in the darkest part of the year. And that small light pierces the darkness and changes the whole thing. If we measure by the standards of our world, we might think, little cause for celebration. It wasn't earth-shattering. It wasn't nuclear, as it were. But it's the accumulation of little changes and little lights, of little hopes that build together, and suddenly we realize that those small, isolated moments have become a movement, and the world somehow seems different. The babe we celebrate as the coming king was born, not in a palace, not in an Egyptian temple, not in a church, but in a stable. And it reminds us that the day of the Lord arrived almost in secret. There weren't millions of people thronging together. There were a few shepherds and some angels, a couple of passers-by, and somewhere 3 people, kings, magi, started to wonder, is something different? And they began searching. The realities and the problems of our present time are not to be ignored. But as we address them, we must always remind ourselves the victory has ultimately been won. The victory has come. Christ invites us, beckons us, prepares us, warns us. Listen again to that old, old story. Hear those scriptures, read them over, but listen with the ears of our hearts and the eyes of our faith, and proclaim that once we were no people, but now we are God's people. And we, as God's people, are about the business of making all things new. Got Christmas? Or is it over? Or is it just beginning? What touched you in your Christmas this year? I have to say I've had a wonderful season. I got to go to the Nutcracker and loved it. I went to the Christmas revels in Cambridge and loved it. It was all entertaining. But what really brought it home for me? We went to visit my daughter in Vermont. She has become the foster parent of 3 teenagers. It's a long story. But in that story, she's a teacher in a small rural school. There was an emergency placement needed over 1 year ago, and she ended up volunteering to take the two girls. Then a few months later, she ended up bringing in their younger brother. Well, there's still two other children in the family, an infant and also an older son. The son has been in specialized care and is not able to interact with his siblings very much since all of this trauma took place. So we went Christmas Day and drove to Vermont. While we were doing that, unbeknownst to us, my son-in-law had gotten up at 4:30 in the morning, driven to the place, which was over an hour and a half one way, where the older boy is staying, had arranged for an 8-hour furlough, brought him back, if I can even say this without falling apart, brought him back so that when the kids woke up, the brother was sitting by the tree. Got Christmas? It wasn't about all of those wonderful things I got to go to and feel inspired. It was about this human connection that God had intervened and brought those brothers and sisters together. Anne Weems, in her poetic expression of her father's experience, wrote, "He spoke out when others would have been quiet. He stood up when others would have run. He risked and lost position and monetary gain and prestige when others would have rationalized. It was not that he was being courageous. I finally discovered it was that he was simply being faithful." He was being faithful. Got Christmas yet? Isn't it about our being faithful to the call of Christ? That one who comes into our lives again and lets us live out the promise of redemption in little ways that make a difference in big ways. And that light comes into that darkness, our ambiguity starts to evaporate. And there's power. Even in the silence of God's presence, in the midst of this broken world, the confusion when we hear the story again, as though we're hearing it for the very first time. You see, this is the opportunity of the season. Christmas is not over. Christmas, Christ, presence, ministry is just begun as it claims our hearts so that we too can work with God to make all things new. In each of us lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. When we are Bethlehem bound, we experience our own rebirth in His. When we are Bethlehem bound, we can no longer look the other way, conveniently not seeing the stars and not hearing the angel voices. We can no longer excuse ourselves by busily tending our sheep or being busy in our own little kingdoms. This Christmas, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known. In the midst of all of our shopping, let us ponder the gift of gifts. Through the tinsel that hangs on the tree, look for the gold of the Christmas star. In the excitement and confusion, in the merry chaos, listen quietly for the brush of the angel's wings. This Christmas, let us go to Bethlehem and find our own kneeling places. So, do you have your mustache on now? Got Christmas? May God grant it that it be so. Let us pray. O God, as we blow out our candles, as we take down our trees, as we wrap up the preparations of the year, help us to carry the light of Christ in our hearts now and always. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. So now go as God's people in this world and let your light so shine that everyone around you will be moved by the good things you do to glorify God in God's heaven. Go in peace and know that God, the Holy One, is with you. Amen."